Request for public hearing to consider new regulations pertaining to public health and warm water shellfish harvest restrictions. Dr. Wilson.
For the past several years, the commission has been adding some restrictions to harvest to meet requirements by Department of Shellfish Sanitation and ultimately from the FDA. On trying to avoid sickness in humans from eating oysters in the summer that carry a natural pathogen, Vivia vulnificus, that if they are subjected to some heat stress, the numbers in oysters can rapidly increase and cause human sickness. The Gulf has been dealing with this for a long time. They are under more restrictions than we are. The possibility that we'll go under the same restrictions that they are under should we get another case. But we've been doing things for the past several years to try to be as risk-averse as we possibly can during the summer. We had placed all those amendments to regulations in 720, which regulation 720, which is an oyster regulation, and more of these regulations are coming down for all shellfish. So what we've done here in this public hearing is we're requesting that we're going to rescind those out of 720 and make a new regulation that just has to do with these sorts of issues. There are more stringent things that are coming down, and probably more stringent next year than it is this year. But just a few of the things that we're adding, we had the time limits of either 10, 11, or 12, according to what month it was in the regulation up to now. We had been allowing the people to, if they wanted to work beyond that time, to use ice in the boats. Don't seem to be able to get that regulation to work very well with law enforcement or in the courts, and Shelter Sanitation has been worried about it, and at this point they would like to remove that option of having ice on the boats to extend your day. We may have more discussions about it in the next month during this comment period, but that's pretty much where they are now. In lieu of that, last year we let people go out after their curfew time for up to 2 hours. We're changing that so that you can go out, but that was hard also to enforce, and now it's 3 hours, but it's from the time you leave the dock to the time you come back to the dock. And further, you have to get a permit from us, and in order to get the permit, you have to have an approved GPS tracker where we'll be able there's quite a few of them that are available to buy, and they're very relatively inexpensive, but once you turn them on, you take them with you, and from the time you leave the dock, time you come back, it both shows on the map as well as gives you your time. There will be a special permit required to move seed after May 1st because some of those seed usually are larger than 2.5 inches, which is, and the shellfish sanitation is worried about those being picked out. And we're going to have, if you want to do that, you'll have to have a special permit from us to do bulk seed. We're also going to have to have them do a special permit for those people doing cage aquaculture for them to work beyond their curfew time. It's very, very draconian, but it's trying to guess where we need to be. And then finally, you have a lot more record keeping than we've ever had before.
Will someone from the health department be here to explain the necessity of every one of these draconian measures?
Absolutely. And we have been working for the past 3 months with a committee of BMRC, law enforcement, shellfish sanitation, and industry to try to make these things as doable as we possibly can. But they are tough. It's likely to be tougher next year.
And I don't mean to be taken the wrong way, but I mean, coming from a law enforcement background, believe it or not, Virginia has one of the best shellfish sanitation programs. We're at times held up as a model for other states. Other states look at our patrol documents and we get good marks and we model or use that. But I tell you, it's really getting to be difficult. I just want to make sure that there's someone here.
Absolutely.
From the health department that can explain, and I want them to go through one case you get this, two case you end up on this. I want them to explain to our constituency the necessity for all of these so that it's amply understood to those that may be reporting on that meeting or those that may be here and impacted at the meeting exactly why this is necessary. Because, as you said, and I agree with you, they're very draconian may be a difficult word, but complex and detailed is certainly an accurate description of it.
So. There's some in the industry that are going to have a very hard time complying with any of the options that we've given them.
And we certainly don't. I mean, that's not what we want as we manage the marine resources of the Commonwealth. I mean, where's the break point? But anyway, Mr. Bowden, and then...
Is there a possibility that there could be different standards on Seaside and Bayside? I tell you why I asked that question. You know, basically, most of your Bayside staff are going to be dredged oysters, and they can work regardless of the tide in the morning. That doesn't apply to Seaside. Seaside, 30-minute sail is nothing, and you've been over there, you know that, leaving your dock to go to a piece of ground 30 minutes or more. So basically, what you're going to make people do is work at the bottom of the tide. They're going to have to, you know, because that's the only time we work, is at the bottom of the tide. So you got 30 minutes. And now you're probably going to have to take your right and pole a long ways because you're going to have to work at the bottom of the tide. You can't go there with a half a tide because either way you go, if you would go with a half a tide, by the time you get done, the tide's all the way down, you're going to have to pole away. So now these people are down to less than an hour and a half. So their only option is don't go.
Absolutely.
There's no way. You know, I mean, it's going to be, draconian was an easy term. I mean, they might, on the seaside, it's definitely.
Yeah, they're going to work on days that they have a morning tide.
And just like, for example, which I'm out of the area, Kansas business, which we all know, and I'm not happy about it still. But people with sea clams right. That go there and have to, you know, when we were growing them, they grow extremely fast, and we all know that. I was probably every 2 or 3 weeks reducing the number in bags, going through them, you know, and moving them off in the bigger growing bag. You're going to have a special permit just to do that with Progenicus now. Even though you're not landing product, just to go ahead there and do the husbandry, you're going to have a special permit.
If any of your oysters are bigger than 2.5 inches, yes.
But
most people, that would it's an exemption if you're less than 2.5 inches, like if you're working on a flopsy or something like that, where you know you got a little nursery, a little stuff, they're not covered by this. But yeah, you're going to have to get a permit from us.
We had our seat overboard, so naturally we had to go there and work the seat. It was. With Air Kansas, it's a very quick proposition. 6 months we were harvesting or less. With these others, it may be a long time frame.
Absolutely. I mean, Seaside was an issue for this group, but unfortunately, Seaside has been the biggest abuser of the situation that we had. They've had the most problem with people on Seaside.
Throughout the shore or localized areas.
Yeah, I mean, well, localized areas. it's going to be very hard on them. And, you know, I can imagine ways of doing it that, you know, you harvest one day and you wet storm basically, and you can go out and retrieve them. But I know there's ways they're going to get around it. But the problem with Seaside for them is that those oysters are already under heat abuse because they're exposed to the sunshine, and say you go work at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at low tide, those oysters are already at 100 degrees in the air.
That's how they would need to show up.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, I mean, there are, when the sun beat down, so that would be the shellfish sanitation's comment to that, is that they are.
You know, I had no problem when they had the ice this year. Or, you know, they could work the tide with the ice this year, or whatever way you want to refrigerate it. But by doing away with that, basically, you close Seaside.
Well, I mean, I think it's a good debate to have with them in a public hearing.
Thank you.
Tiger?
Because, as you mentioned, it is localized, and I'd heard the same thing. Are we in fact, taking measures that should be maybe enforcement-oriented as opposed to just preventive, because we are dealing with targeted areas?
One of the real difficulties on Seaside is there's no universal landing spot. I mean, there's a possibility we can work out an icing issue for those coming in Deep Creek down in James River Work. The majority of the fleet comes there. But the problem with Seaside is that they're here and yon and every sort of little gut that they're going back to.
Let me ask you this, Jim. We used to set up for polluted shellfish offloading points. During the course of the discussions, would industry, and I know it's a difficult question, but would industry be willing to concede to landing at certain offloading points as long as the ice is allowed, or is the geography and topography just so varied over there that that's not an option?
Well, I mean, that'd be a question to ask him. It would be really hard, and I mean, everywhere from Chincoteague to Watch Creek to Quinby to Oyster to Red Bank to...
Where are you going to offload? You'll have to run 50 miles.
Quimby, you have one place. That was about it.
Yeah.
That's all you have is one dock.
Okay.
No, but I mean, to have law enforcement keep up with a loading place at each of those. That's kind of,
one more question.
But that's what we're having the public hearing for, is to hear these.
Should be a good one. Mr. Packard. Just so I'm a little more prepared for the public hearing to come and questions before the permit process for you got any thoughts on what that's going to look like?
Very simple. We'll just have doing the husbandry permit, it's nothing more than we'll have just a form, and what they have to do is attach to our little permit their standard operating procedures. So if law enforcement came in and saw them and saw that they were handling cages and they were running them through the culling machines and things like that, that this is what they'd be doing. And you wouldn't want to see a cage full of market oysters sitting out at 2 o'clock. That you would obviously be working with the smaller oysters that you own. Because there's no way that a cage aquaculturist, and these are people that we've been trying to encourage, you know, we've been giving financial aid and everything to get going. We don't want to stop the process, but it's to try to make them have good standard operating procedures, that they get the big oysters in first thing in the morning, and then they do their husbandry in the afternoon.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Fox?
Let me just ask a question so that I'll be better prepared next time. The Vibrio is in all oysters, and it just becomes...
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
So it just becomes dangerous if the oyster is overheated.
That's right.
But if the oyster is overheated for a while and then put back in the water...
It does not go down.
It
takes it 15 days or more for it to return back to a safe level.
But it will return back.
It will eventually. That's why Virginia has never gotten into the depuration aspects of oysters, and the health department has frowned on that, is that we can depurate E. coli, but we can't depurate Vibrio.
So the oysters over on the seaside that are exposed out on the mud bank, those oysters will be okay later in the winter if they're just left undisturbed.
Well, that simple tide... Mm-hmm. is not going to necessarily raise them to a dangerous level. I mean, just the one tide cycle, but maybe it's an exponential increase that the organisms go through, and maybe just sitting out in the sunshine, you know, it starts on that exponential trend, and then the water comes in and it holds it at that level. And I mean, one thing about seaside, and there's actually a fisheries research grant that's being done this summer to check this and see if it's an option. There is literature out there that says that oysters in very high salinity have very low levels of Vibrio. And if we can work through that this summer and see if that's true, what they're going to do is inspect some on the bayside and actually see if seaside, if you could relay them there, and that would be a way of doing post-harvest treatment. Because the reality is, we're doing these things now, but we're very likely to get one more case, and we're going to have to come up with ways to deal with that. And Virginia right now does not have the high-pressure facilities that they have in the Gulf that they can go to should they be forced to do this. we need to come up with some things, and it's a possibility this Fisheries Research Grant is actually doing two tests this summer, one of bringing them in and putting them in cool water and running water over them for a while with UV lights to see if that can reduce the Vibrio, and this other project to infect them, take them on seaside and see if the high salinity water itself will lower the Vibrio. And if that's the case, then the issues on seaside become less of a problem if it really is true that Vibrio is low in high salinity. So, but and they got the tech and VIMS helping them on those projects for this summer, but it won't be ready for us to have that information for tonight.
Mr. Holland, then Mr. Schick.
What is the problem with ice? I mean, I don't quite understand.
The problem with ice for law enforcement and the health department is that if you did it right, it was perfect. If you took out a bag of ice from 7-Eleven with you in your ice box and you had your orchards out loose and you put a few cubes of ice on your orchards on your way home, there's no way of saying whether you had done it right or done it wrong. Law enforcement can't carry thermometers with them. There was no way of having a standard that people would know what they had when they left and what they came back with and how the ice was placed on the orchards. And they have problems with some people doing a good job and doing it perfect. I mean, it's better. I mean, we want to encourage people to use ice even now. We're not requiring it in the regulation, but we want to encourage them to do it as the best management practice. In the Jaeger and all these rivers when they're working in the morning in the hot days, still put them on ice. But the problem was is by having it in the regulation, it was not being held up in court as to how much ice they had to have.
Mr. Schick?
That was my question.
Great minds think alike. Matters before the commission. Motion made by Mr. Bowden for the public hearing. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Tanker. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. I'm sorry.
Hey, man. I'd like to make a comment about the ice issue, if I could.
We have the public hearing next month. That's when they will be taking the testimony as far as the ice is concerned. If you got something short, you want to say?
Yeah, I got something pretty short.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Real quickly, Jim. Thank you. If you'll yield.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Yes, sir.
Name's Kent Carr, commercial waterman, oysterman. I've oystered last summer and iced, and I was over James River, and it's going to put me out of business this summer. I'm working in a tight financially situation with my oysters, and I agree with going to 7-Eleven and getting a bag of ice is not the proper way.
Right.
And I think we should come up with a regulation and work together with the watermen that are doing it instead of working against each other and the way I feel that it's been done in the past. And that's why I took time to come down here today. I'm not in trouble with anything or coming down. I'll just come down on this issue and two or three others that I'd like to speak with you and the board members about. But a missed public comment meeting, because usually you have it after lunch and you've had it before lunch. And
I came after lunch.
Anyhow, I got my ice from Seaford Scallop Company and bought it by the half a ton and had a vat to put it in. And that's the only way to do it. You got plenty of ice to put on. Some guys did get bags of ice and they could get away with it. But we were checked right regular. I mean, you know the law enforcement in Deep Creek. I don't have to mention the officer's name. I'm not going to mention it. But he's pretty strict. And I don't think of anybody got any tickets or anything down there this year. And we got checked. I mean, I got checked coming in by PMRC, Tim, the health department, in between the rocks. I've been checked on the ground while I was working because Tim from the health department comes out and gets 22 oysters from me when I'm working on my ground instead of him dragging the dredge and catching them.
Okay.
And we haven't had any problems. The two cases that we did have are from oyster houses that aren't like the top-notch oyster houses, which I consider Ronnie Bevins, Lake Howard, W.E. Kelvin, Shores and Brewer, people in that distance. The places that we had the trouble with are run-down shacks in somewhere that I wouldn't go in and eat the seafood out of it if you gave it to me. And it's a shame for us to be punished and put in all these situations.
Well, that's exactly what we were saying earlier.
I don't have time to come down next commissioner's meeting, and I haven't been down to the meetings like I usually like to, but I've got to work, and it's tough times now to make ends meet, and you can't miss days to come down here like I did today. And I feel that the ice issue should be left on this year, and let's work with the Food and Drug Administration, the Health Department, VMRC, and the watermen, and work out a reasonable, sensible regulation to where we can work. This is just about going to sink me. As a matter of fact, I went today and put a tractor trailer on the road because I'm not going to be able to oyster this summer if I can have some work and don't lose what I've got. But it's a real tough situation. And I think with the board members and some of us sit down and go over it, we can come up with a good regulation to make this work and not have any problems.
Well, the problem is, Ken, it's not only the board members, it's what we are. We're the caboose on the end of the train on this one. It's the health department that's driving the force, and we're unfortunately, or it's part of our job, the enforcement tool of what's coming down the pipe. That's what's, I can't stress it any more than that. Now, can we work with them to try to explain to them what we think is enforceable or not? Yes, and I think that's exactly what Dr. Weston indicated the need was going to be to do that, working with law enforcement, working with everybody. And there's no doubt that there's going to be some difficult regulations to try to maintain public health. I'm finished.
We spent money. We had to build fiberglass boxes last year. Spent a lot of money. And every year they change something. And it's not enough money for the small oystermen like me and most of them, other than the big packers, which get a lot more backings from help from other people than what we do. We're getting smashed down in the ground. And it's a sad situation for me, a lifetime waterman. And I got something I'd like y'all just pass the board across. This is VIMS from 1930 to 57. This is what went on in these meetings down here. I don't know if y'all have all this information or not. It's a picture of my dad's boat. I'm the fourth generation in my family doing this. And I had four work boats 3 years ago, and I've actually pulled three of them up in front of my dad's house and cut them up and burn them up. I ain't burned them yet, but they're getting ready to go up as soon as they dry up enough. Because I can't afford to keep them up. The regulations are putting us out of business. And I went to the replenishing meeting. It wasn't very many of us there. Doug and Mr. Parks all there. That was about the most unorganized meeting I've ever been to in my life. They never did go across what was on the agenda. I had to read all that myself. And I would like to talk to you, Commissioner, after the meeting, just a personal conversation and discuss the problems over that, because if things don't get any better and the regulations keep getting like they are, I'm going to have to get out of business. And it's not very many people in the oyster business now. They have to rely on other states, North Carolina, Maryland, the Gulf, to get the oysters to shuck, just to put into Virginia packages to supply the orders. We've got some good markets out west. I'm a truck driver. I haul seafood and stuff in. It's something needs to be done because we don't have any watermen to come down here and represent us. And the regulations are getting put on us that are nonsense and stuff. It's putting us out of business. And honestly with you, next year I can't afford to go oystering. I can't afford to go to James River this spring to oyster because of the strictness of what the Marine Patrol officers are down there. And I've dealt with you, Commissioner, I've over that for years, and it's just getting to work. I can't go to work. I took my boat home and tied it up yesterday, and going to do something else. I called up Treasure Natural Resources to talk to them. I called six times. They called me back when we were in the replenishing meeting, and they told me to come back and talk to you, Commissioner. That's what I've been come down here and do. And this is my last trips down here because I'm not getting done. I tell you what I feel like. I feel like I'm a cigarette butt put on the ground and took with your foot and smashed out like that.
Now, Ken, here's the deal. How many times have you ever showed up at my door when I'm in my office and I refuse to speak to you?
Right. And not I, ever I can't once. Stay. Well, I, Now, I got to take that back. I didn't come down to see you, but I applied for a piece of oyster ground.
Well, we can't revisit.
I called down here to talk to you three times, and I was told by Lieutenant Colonel Warner Rhodes, sitting right back there, that you didn't want to talk to me three times in a row. And I never have really been able to sit down and discuss that with you. Well, and I really got a heartburn over that. And that's what one of these issues I'd like to discuss with you off of record.
Okay.
And thank you. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Kent.